This is West Virginia Morning. I'm Beth Voorhees. An audit of a new pay system for state employees shows an error in a calculation rate will actually result in an unintended pay raise for thousands of salaried employees. The report comes weeks after grievances filed by some Department of Transportation employees claimed they would actually be shortened in pay for the fiscal year. As Ashton Mara reports, the error is a complicated one that lawmakers are now scrambling to fix.
In June of this year, thousands of state employees transferred from being paid twice a month to every other Friday, a conversion that seems fairly simple, right? Instead of getting paid 24 times per year, these employees, and eventually all state employees, will receive 26 paychecks a year. And the math seems straightforward. Take an employee's salary, and instead of dividing by 24, divide by 26. And there you have it, a new paycheck. Well, it turns out it's not so simple. Legislative Auditor Aaron Allred explains the changeover is all due to the state's transition under WV OASIS, a new computer system meant to streamline most state government processes.
The OASIS conversion was based on a 260 workday, which if you divide by 26 is an even number. However, almost all work years have either 261 workdays or 262 workdays.
Basically, what Allred is saying is the calculation method used by the state auditor's office to divide employee salaries by 26 instead of 24 has this small error in it. It will miss either 1 or 2 days of work for state employees during most years, and that error will result in an unintended increase in the amount salaried employees are being paid.
Based on the average salary and the number of employees obtained from the state auditor, the annual increase is approximately $213 per person for the 261 workdays and $426 per person for 262 workday year.
So in the year that doesn't match up perfectly and state employees end up working 1 or 2 extra days, West Virginia will pay those employees an additional $5 to $10 million out of the state budget, a total of nearly $50 million in additional salaries over the next 10 years. But that's just for salaried employees. Work for the state on an hourly basis, which nearly 23,000 West Virginians do, and your pay will stay exactly the same. The extra money that will be drawn out of the state budget because of this computing error, State Auditor Glenn Gaynor says it's minimal compared to what the state will save by continuing to implement the biweekly pay system and streamlining the state's payroll processes.
There is no doubt in my mind that moving to biweekly pay has been a difficult transition. It's tough. It's a lot of change. However, bringing about the standardization of business processes is going to save the state millions of dollars. I believe those savings to be probably closer to $10 million a year. ISG is telling us that a minimum savings is going to be $4.5 million per year. But that's why we did it. And we did not want to harm employees, but we also wanted to ensure to the taxpayers that there was true transparency and payrolls were always being calculated correctly.
For Senate Finance Chairman Mike Hall, a savings is a savings. He asked the auditor for physical proof. Show me in the budget, he said, where state agencies are saving money through this process. Department of Administration Secretary Jason Pizzutella's agency has already changed pay schedules.
In just a few months that the administration has been part of Wave 1, we know that in the old system, as Legislative Auditor's Office has pointed out to us many times over the last 10 years, that there's a lot of potential for human error. This system links them all together. And so
in your office, you've seen some of these savings already.
We've seen some savings in payroll. Yes, Mr. Chairman,
That's good.
But for Senate President Bill Cole, savings aren't enough.
If somebody says, I'll go to work for $40,000 a year, and I say, I'll pay you $40,000 a year, and he works and I pay him $40,000, at the end of the year, whether it's a fiscal year or calendar year, the deal's done. The deal's done. So accurately, to me, would be if the agreement's $40,000, that we pay $40,000.
not more and not less, Cole says. Because of the findings of the salary schedule review, legislative auditor Aaron Allred is recommending the state halt the switchover in pay for the rest of the state's 50,000 employees that's scheduled for November, and instead focus on finding a solution so that no salaries are affected by the transition. For lawmakers, that could mean passing a bill to mandate the old semi-monthly pay system or changing the definition of how many days are in a work year, among other options. Or they could simply leave the system alone and give 24,000 employees a raise. For West Virginia Public Broadcasting, I'm Ashton Mara in Charleston.
And we note to you here that West Virginia Public Broadcasting is a state agency, and its employees will be affected by the change in state pay schedules. Another audit says the State Department of Administration has too many buildings and can't maintain them, largely because it disregarded the financial implications of buying them. In the audit released Sunday, the Legislative Auditor's Office suggests the department conduct cost-benefit analysis and stop buying properties costing more than $1 million until finances improve. The audit describes buildings wholly or partially uninhabitable from 2000 to 2014. It says some were old and needed repairs when purchased. It says the department doesn't charge enough rent. The audit acknowledges lottery money used by the department has dropped since 2010, but says that isn't the main problem. It says the General Services Division has overspent revenues by $7 million to $23 million in the last 5 years. The department agreed with the recommendations. Another audit says West Virginia underfunded 36 school districts by $52 million over 7 years, while overfunding 19 counties by $22 million. In Sunday's report to lawmakers, the Legislative Auditor's Office says that the Department of Education caused a $30 million net underfunding in budget years 2009 through 2015. It says officials misinterpreted school aid changes required to be phased in over 5 years, starting in 2009. The audit says Kanawha County was shorted $5 million, the most across 55 counties. The most overfunded county, Monongalia, received almost $1.5 million extra. Pocahontas County was underfunded by $1,103 per pupil, and Hardy received $436 extra per student, the most in those categories. Department of Education General Counsel Heather Huskins-Deskins says there were different legal interpretations. She noted the department wasn't allocated the additional $30 million. This is West Virginia Morning. It's 7:51. Some dense fog this morning, becoming partly sunny today with temperatures in the 70s. Clear tonight with lows in the 40s. Sunshine Tuesday and Wednesday. Highs on Tuesday in the 70s. Warming up a little on Wednesday with daytime highs in the 70s and low 80s.
Support for our weather forecast is provided by Erie Insurance, putting service first since 1925. Local agents available at erieinsurance.com. Support is also provided by the CAMC Foundation, supporting pediatric services for underserved and high-risk patients at CAMC Women's and Children's Hospital. More information at camcfoundation.org.
Last week, U.S. District Attorney William Ehlenfeld announced the launch of an organized effort to combat addiction problems in Marion, Monongalia, and Harrison counties. It's called the Addiction Action Plan, and it's an extension of an initiative that began in the Northern Panhandle late last year in response to a resurgence of heroin use in the region. Glennis Board spoke with Ehlenfeld earlier this summer about the plan and brings us this report.
Ehlenfeld's office is collaborating with judges, lawmakers, education officials, healthcare practitioners, members of the media, and business leaders to try to tackle the region's raging drug problems from multiple angles. He says one big change that's come of the collaboration is how an overdose scene is handled.
Just within the past couple of years, an overdose scene would be treated just as a medical incident. If they died, You would call an ambulance and the person would be taken away.
Well, that's not the case anymore. Now, a member of a drug task force is called to the scene to conduct an investigation. Cell phones and drug paraphernalia are collected, as well as needles for analysis and anything else that can help definitively determine the cause of death, down to the substance, and where that substance came from. And laws have changed. Now, if somebody dies because of a drug you helped supply,
the penalties are significant. It's 20 years to life if you deliver a drug, whether it's heroin or any other drug, that causes somebody else to die.
But the Addiction Action Plan isn't just about practicing more sophisticated and targeted prosecution.
While it's very important to continue to investigate and prosecute and incarcerate the drug traffickers, we need to do more with the users and to try and reduce the demand.
Ehlenfeld's office has been advocating for more treatment facilities in the state and more ways of reaching out to community members who might be struggling.
We have started in the Northern Panhandle by putting together and launching a website, drugfreeov.com, that for anyone in the Northern Panhandle and the surrounding region, they can go to that website. It's a one-stop shop to find anything that might be available where they live, either for themselves or for somebody that they know.
Recommendations for the Addiction Action Plan committees in North Central West Virginia include adopting similar online resources. The plan also focuses on prevention efforts, largely by organizing presentations in schools.
The feedback we get and the questions we get are, it's always the greatest at the youngest age, at 10 and 11. They're looking, they're paying attention, they're nodding their head, they're asking questions that a middle school or high school student wouldn't because they're afraid to ask a question in front of their peers. How young is too young? I don't think you can talk to kids too young. As soon as they can understand that these types of concepts, we need to be talking to them.
Ehlenfeld is also focused on economic issues. Businesses have a hard time, he says, finding applicants in a workforce marred with drug addiction. Meetings are underway with business owners to try to address this issue.
Got a lot of blank stares when I brought up the topic of working with those who have re-entered society after having been incarcerated.
Ehlenfeld says it behooves all parties to actively be a part of the solution. And for business owners, that means considering all applicants, even those who battle addiction problems.
A lot of these folks do want to work. They want to get back on track. They want to get their lives back together.
He says it's not only an investment in the community, but also in the future of the community. Ehlenfeld points to one business owner he visited in Indianapolis who hires felons almost exclusively.
Hundreds of thousands of dollars every year go towards child support because they're earning a wage. He's withholding it from their paycheck by court order, and it's being paid for the children. So if you don't care about the convicted felon, think about their children and what you're doing for them. And hopefully that child won't repeat the mistakes that were made by his father or by his mother because he has the support he needs.
Collaborations are also underway with building and construction unions. Officials from Ehlenfeld's office in Wheeling report that very productive meetings and meaningful steps are being taken in the Northern Panhandle as a result of these collaborations. Similar initiatives have been recommended for the action plan in North Central West Virginia. A full report, including recommendations and potential outlines for the action plan in Marion, Monongalia, and Harrison counties, are set to be made public this week. Plans are in place to meet again in several months to discuss progress in the region and to extend an action plan into the Eastern Panhandle. For West Virginia Public Broadcasting, I'm Glynis Board in Wheeling.
West Virginia Morning is a production of West Virginia Public Broadcasting, which is solely responsible for its content. Keep up with all the latest West Virginia news throughout the day on our website, wvpublic.org. Support for our news bureaus comes from Shepherd University, West Virginia University, Marshall University, and Concord University. Our producer is Ashton Mara. Our director is Teresa Wills. I'm Beth Voorhees.